worship started, it looked a little bit empty. So I was wondering if where people are already on holiday, it seems like it's a good idea, but the last stretch. How is it end of November? Huh? Am I the only one? It's like that. So let me just, before I start, let's close our eyes and I'll pray for us. Yes, Father, we thank you this morning that we can be here in this room. We thank you that you are with us. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you that we have this privilege of being able to sing songs of praise to you, Lord, of coming together, meeting together to lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are the one binding us together. Thank you for that this morning. Would you open up our hearts this morning, our ears? Would you unblock our ears and our eyes to see and to hear what you have to say for us this morning? Would you also bless the meditations of my heart and the words from my mouth this morning? Holy Spirit, we invite you as our helper this morning, as the one, as our guest of honor. Would you come and minister to each one of us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been having a couple of amazing hard words the last couple of weeks. And I would like to start by encouraging us, if you have missed one of them, somehow if you did miss, please do go and listen to them again. I've had the amazing time to spend some time this week just going through all of the sermons, from Gerbrand's sermon to Chris's sermon to Jules's sermon to Peter's sermon. It was such an incredible, and Berlin, obviously, the one I fear to go to because it's like an intense one, but it's such an amazing word. God is speaking to us. Amen? I'm saying God is speaking to us. Amen. Okay, so some of you need to go and listen to the sermons again, obviously. It's amazing to see how God is using us in this congregation to speak through us. Are we listening? Are we hearing what he's saying to us? So maybe I'm going to quickly recap. It's going to be very, very brief. I want to advise us to not use these. People call them your friends. I don't think they are our friends, this AI bots nonsense. I don't agree with that. Because I asked it to summarize some of the sermons, and it was very wrong. So maybe it's my prompts, I don't know, but I'm not going to trust it again. I trust the Holy Spirit, amen? So Gerbrand started with abiding in Christ. Basically, John 15, plugging into the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. I mean, yeah, it's so awesome. You guys are so awake. I love it. It's amazing. Then Chris took us further, the call of rebuilding the temple. Rebuild that which is important first, before we start building the walls. I'm summarizing very briefly. Please do go listen to it again. Then Berlin spoke to us about the church in Laodicea in Revelation that was keen to compromise, and how it's such an image of the church of the modern church of today. And the lukewarmness, it's a warning for us, but it's not the end, because God allows us repentance, which is an amazing thing. So much of repentance used to be, for me, it used to be shame, and like, it's such a shameful thing to get those things what into the light, but God grants us repentance so that, and I'll get to that now. Juliet shared about walking in the light, about bringing those things that are in the darkness into the light. Why? Because when it is exposed, it no longer has power over you. But if it's kept in the darkness, it will keep on being a stumbling block for you. James 5 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? So that you may be healed. That is the reason. That is why we do it. And so that's where we are now today. There's this golden thread of God speaking to us. rebuild the inner place, the temple first. And I feel the word on my heart this morning, and I'm not going to keep us long because I feel that we need to actually do something about that this morning. We'll pray together. I'll create some space for us to pray together later on. But before I start with that, I'm going to pray for us again. Yes, Lord, we thank you, God, that we can enter into your presence because of the finished work of the cross, not by anything we've done, because we deserve to be punished, we deserve death. But by your grace, you have saved us. Your blood forgives us. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've titled this morning, One Thing is Necessary, Returning to What is Most Important. If you're going to go to that first scripture, Luke 10, I'm going to read it for us. Verse 38, Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. I just picture myself in that position where I don't know if they knew who Jesus was at the point in time, but I'm just thinking, she like says to Jesus what to do. Like, tell her to help me, come on. Like, do you know who you're talking to? But she was so distracted that she didn't even realize who she was speaking to. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. It's just so interesting to see the way that Jesus addresses her. Sometimes you think, do you know who I am? Come on, you can't say that to me. And Jesus doesn't do that. He goes and he says her name twice. In such a, I can hear him say that in such a loving way. Martha, Martha, come on. Mary has chosen the good portion. One thing is necessary. And it's such a kind, in such a kind way. I read an article by Charles Spurgeon about this part of Scripture, and he said, it's easy for us to think that the one thing is Jesus, right? But that's not what he says. He says one thing is necessary. It's about sitting at his feet. It's not about him. It's about sitting at his feet. Because he's not a thing. He's a person, right? Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. And then, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. We see David speaking here, or the writer, I think it's David, who says, it is lovely to be in the dwelling place with God. That place of entering his presence is a lovely place to be. His soul longs, faints for the courts of the Lord. Do we have that same longing for the Lord, for his presence? Or are we satisfied with what we have? Baleen said it in a sermon which really struck me. It hit me right front and center. That we are so unaware of our spiritual poverty. And I read this verse and it hit me again. Am I really searching and longing for the presence of God like that? Like that song about there's a psalm, like the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. Are we really longing that much for the Lord? So my question this morning to us is, to us, I'm including myself, are we really seeking him that much? Do we know how poor we are in spirit? Are we aware of that? While I was praying for this morning, I had a vision, a picture of, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's these little square sponges. I think it's used for makeup removal or something. I'm not too sure what it's used for. But it's like this very thin sponge, and when you put water on it, it like expands quite a lot. I don't know what the purpose is of that, but you know what I'm talking about. And I had the picture of that as we sit in front of the Lord, spending time at his feet. It's like little drops of water are falling on this sponge. And immediately it starts expanding and it's expanding. Without the water, it's very useless. It can't do much. But when the water falls on the little sponge, it expands and it actually becomes useful. And only a couple of drops is not going to cause it to do the purpose that it is, to be able to be used for the purpose that it is intended for. So it has to be drenched in it. And as soon as it's drenched in it, then it becomes useful. And I see that as the same thing for us as we spend time in his presence by his feet. One other thing. A while ago, I had this situation with, as some of you might know, I'm a father of three children, and as parents in the house know, children don't always, maybe never ever listen the first time that you ask them to do something. Maybe not even the second time, sometimes the third time, you know, when patience runs a little bit thin. There is this thing where you say to your child, please go and brush your teeth before you go to bed. And it doesn't happen, and then you ask again, please go and brush your teeth. And then maybe they'll do it, but they don't always listen the second time. And the third time, please go and brush your teeth. No, I'm not like that anyways. I had a point with this. Sometimes, as we are children of God, our age doesn't matter. We are always and will always be children of God. In this room, young and old alike, we're all children and God is our Father, right? Sometimes God speaks to us like parents speak to their children. We don't listen the first time. Maybe we didn't understand. Maybe we didn't hear. Maybe we didn't want to respond. But the Lord is faithful and he's kind and he allows us to hear again. And sometimes the Lord is speaking to us and we're not responding. We're not being obedient. We're not going over to obedience. So this morning I want to encourage us that when the Lord is speaking to us, he's not speaking to us because we need some more words to feel good about ourselves, where he's the one who speaks our identity, but he's speaking to us because he wants us to not get cavities, right? Because cavities hurt. And if we follow his ways, we will have very little cavities in our life. I'm not saying you will never have cavities, but you will prevent a lot of suffering or a lot of problems in your life if you're just obedient to what he's calling you to do, what he's saying to us. I'm so reminded the one time we were watching the film, and I'm sure you might have watched it, WALL-E. And there in the film, there's this scene where all of humankind went up to the spaceship to go and find another habitable world because the world is no more habitable. And something happens. I'm not going to go explain it too much, but then the person riding on this little chair that has probably never walked in their life falls off it, and they can't get back on their own chair without assistance. And I've been wondering about that. How often do we listen to all of these amazing sermons and all of these amazing podcasts? We get filled with everything, but we never go over to obedience. I want to encourage us to really take the time, go and listen to the 5 sermons, and listen to what is God saying to us. Because he's speaking. Are we listening? And that's not the theme. But one thing is necessary again. There is one thing that is necessary. Are we sitting at his feet? Are we being filled daily? Baleen's sermon also again. Are we being filled? I was in my daily scripture reading, I came across Acts 13, verse 2, and it really struck me because a lot of times we hear about praying and fasting. Praying and fasting go together a lot. When I read Acts 13, it said, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. I've never really seen this combination before. How often do we worship and fast together? And then the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to. How often do we worship and fast? Is this part of our lifestyle? I love the songs this morning. It was speaking so much about that, about us entering to that place. That last song, I can't remember the name of it now. All my days are held within your hands. Two weeks ago, my dad was in a motorcycle accident, completely not his fault. He's 72, he broke his leg, he's still in hospital, busy recovering. But obviously that raises a lot of questions. And how fast things can happen that changes everything. And was unexpected. It didn't come with, it was a complete surprise. And then you start thinking about, are all of these things in place? What is going to happen? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And this is obviously an extreme case, but how are we living our lives? Do we live like that, where we think about the future, or are we just enjoying the present? What I want to say with that is all our days are held within his hands. Sometimes something happens, like in that movie, where the person was knocked off their chair, and they realized what was happening around them. Their eyes opened up to see what is happening, to see their spiritual poverty. Without Christ, we can do nothing. So, to save on time, I'm going to go to the quote by Dr. M.R. DeHaan. I was at the healing center a couple of months ago, and I met with a pastor from another congregation. And during our conversations, this quote came up. I asked him to repeat it a couple of times because it was so profound at that moment. I actually wanted to write it down. I didn't want to Google it. I just wanted to write it down and just embrace what it means. So I'm going to read it for us, and maybe close your eyes while I read it, and just really listen to this and process what does this mean for us in this time. The cost of discipleship. To come to Christ costs you nothing. To follow Christ costs you something. To serve Christ will cost you everything. Let me read that again. To come to Christ costs you nothing. To follow Christ costs you something. To serve Christ will cost you everything. How often do you hear the gospel story and we think that it's not going to cost us anything because we are saved by grace and it's free. But it isn't free in the long run. When we start to follow Christ, we have to give up everything. Jesus didn't call us to that. He calls us to give up everything. I don't preach the gospel like that anymore. It's not this rosy thing. Yes, we have life, but we all have to it will cost us everything. We will have to give up everything, whatever that looks like, but that is the true gospel. So, in summary, please do go listen to the sermons again. It's really for us to repeat, repetition. How are we going to change if we don't hear it again? Coming back to that scripture that says, one thing is necessary. Renounce those things that keep you from the good portion. What is keeping you busy? Even serving. Serving is good. But if that becomes the ultimate thing or becomes more important than sitting at Jesus' feet, content to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, that's the thing that I find the most challenging, that place in my life. Whatever your season of life is, if you're single, if you're married, if you have kids, if your kids are out of the house, that is always the place that is the most difficult and the place that gets attacked the most, in my experience, is the place of spending time at Jesus' feet, whether it be in the morning, whether it be in the evening. Just do it. Make and prioritize time to sit at Jesus' feet. It is so important for us. We cannot live without that. And the life we think we have, it is not as good as Jesus wants it to be for us. Let us contend to sit at his feet. Amen. Quick enough, I think. I really want to spend some time praying together this morning. Whether it be if you come to the front or take someone next to you that you trust, that you feel comfortable with. But I want us to put into practice what I've talked about this morning, what we've heard over the last couple of weeks, spending time at Jesus' feet. If I can maybe ask the band to come up and maybe just take a moment as we close our eyes and just ask the Holy Spirit, to ask the Lord to speak to you. I'm sure, and I have a sense that there has been something that the Holy Spirit has been reminding us, that you've been sensing, that is on your heart, that thing that is keeping you from entering that place. Why don't you just take a moment and speak to the Lord about that? Tell him, I feel this is the thing. And then when you've spoken to the Lord about that, pray with someone. If I can have some ushers as well to come forward. And the ushers can also start handing out the communion as well. Is there something that the Holy Spirit has been putting on your heart that you need to renounce, that you need to let go of? Even good things that is keeping you from sitting at his feet, taking care of your family. Are you prioritizing time at Jesus' feet? Is there something that is causing you to be troubled and anxious about many things? Why don't you just take a moment and bring it before the Lord? As the elements are handed out, we can just take a moment and pray through that.